Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
John, I have done write-in candidates the past several years. No one on the presidential or gubernatorial levels have been worthy of my vote. Yeah, so then you write in somebody and they don't win either. So if that's the way you feel, I understand that. Go ahead and pick the candidate you like the most, who has maybe the least chance of winning, and then keep picking them until you finally get one you like who maybe does have a chance to win. I'm an advocate for ranked choice voting. Eric Zorn, I think, is too. He publishes a weekly newsletter containing commentary, comedy, and more. Search for the Picayune Sentinel. That's his online publication. Or just email ericzorn@gmail.com. He'll put you on the mailing list. Hey, Mr. Zorn, how are you?
Hey, John, really good. Thanks. I am an advocate of ranked choice voting. I think that it is a moderating effect on candidates, that when you're not always on the attack, because you need to make sure that if there's a multiple candidate field, that you don't want to alienate the supporters of the other candidate. You want to be their second choice in case it comes to one of these instant runoffs. So I think it's a great idea, and I think it could help cure some of the things that are ailing our politics right now. So I'm hoping that we institute it in more places than have already tried it.
But then what would we do when a candidate is dangerous and will harm your children? Sorry. I agree with you on that. That's going to be on the ballot in Evanston. They'll get a chance to decide if their city officers, the city clerk, treasurer, and the mayor will be elected that way. It would be so interesting if we did it in Illinois for governor. It would be so interesting if in the United States of America we did it for president. How the times would have changed. One wonders. I don't have a crystal ball, but one wonders. By the way, you weren't on the Mincing Rascals last week, our podcast. How come?
Well, I was down in Cass, West Virginia at Fiddle Camp. I took about five days to hang out with a whole bunch of old-time musicians. We played fiddle tunes all day and all night, and it was a lot of fun. It's my other life.
I love you. I respect you. We have some things in common, but our musical tastes aren't the same, and that does not sound like a fun time for me, but I don't play the fiddle either, so I'm glad that was there for you.
Yeah, it was. I had a blast. It's a long time in the car. I drove 12 hours each way to get there, but it was worth it.
And you said on your Picayune Sentinel newsletter, the site that you dropped, that you had a conversation with somebody who said they don't consume news anymore. Is that right?
Yeah, I was with a housemate of mine. They put us all into houses at this state park, and he was a guy from Asheville, North Carolina, and we're talking about this and that, and he said, you know, I we were talking about the news, and I told him what I did for a living, and he said, oh, you know, I really checked out of the news about 40 years ago. And he said that he found that following the roller coaster of current events left him feeling anxious and sad often. And he felt like he couldn't do much about most of it. And he found that most of it was actually irrelevant to his life. That he said when big things happen, his friends tell him about it, but he dropped all his subscriptions to magazines and newspapers. He stopped watching TV news. He stopped listening to NPR and AM radio, and just decided he'd devote himself to not-for-profits in his community and to his family and his friends. And he said he's much happier. So we did not have the usual conversation that you and I might have about what's going on with the various political events. But it was an interesting perspective that he had. And he was a smart enough guy, and he said he knows enough to cast an intelligent mm-hmm. vote when voting time comes. But he's just checked out. And I've talked to other people who feel sort of the same way about this, which is that following, say, just for instance, all the polls that are coming out right now. Okay, like you're thinking about what's going on with the Senate races in Georgia and Pennsylvania and in Florida, and you get really nervous about it, and you know you can't do anything about it, and it goes up and down, and it just makes you worried about what's going to happen on November 8th. And so maybe it's best to just tune out and wait for the voters in Pennsylvania to tell you what's going to happen rather than sit there and fret about it. I can relate to that in some ways because I feel that way about like the Bears draft or the Bulls draft. when they're talking about who might the Bears draft, and they go through this, it doesn't make me anxious, but it's just like, tell me who they draft, and then I'll know what direction the team's going. But I'm not going to read 1,000 or 2,000 words about who they might draft, or who a political candidate might choose as a running mate for president. It's like I tried not to follow stories like that because it doesn't add any value to my life. It doesn't make me feel more informed. Nothing I can do about it. Just wait and tell me what. Tell me what you tell me who you drafted. Tell me who's going to be the running mate, and then I can pay attention. So I get that. It's not in my personality or my constitution to check out of the news. I have to follow it. And it's not just for professional reasons.
Well, but I understand that. But this person who did check out doesn't follow the news. You said he seems, however uninformed, relatively intelligent. It's not like he couldn't process it or. He wasn't a dummy, huh?
Oh, no, not at all. Not at all. He was a very, very interesting guy, and we had good conversations, but he just
not a very curious fellow. I wonder if he has some sort of anxiety disorder that makes it almost impossible for him to function were he to dive into the
Well, we were housemates for about 5 days, so I don't think I know him.
Give me his number, I'll ask him. I think that it's almost irresponsible. Like, you're right. I don't think you and I need to lose any sleep over who the governor of Georgia is going to be, even though it could be tremendously impactful, because shy of donating to a Republican or a Democratic candidate, there's nothing you can do about it. Similarly, the Bears' offensive line, whatever, right? But shootings in Chicago or the political races in Illinois or taxes in Illinois or COVID in Illinois, I think it's irresponsible not to pay attention to those things.
Well, I certainly agree with that. I agree with especially the COVID stuff and crime stuff. It's important to pay attention to what's going on and to formulate opinions. And for people who are in business that you and I are in, it's important to have opinions that are grounded in a broad knowledge of what's actually going on, so you can say suggest what might need to be done and so on. I personally stopped watching local TV news about 4 or 5 years ago, and it happened on one particular night where Channel 7 led with a story of a wild turkey flying into the windshield of an SUV in Indiana. And nobody was hurt, but a wild turkey flew into a car, and this was their lead story. They spent 2 minutes on it, and I just said, "That's it. I am never going to watch local TV news again."
You did to local TV news what you did to the Cubs. There was one thing, and you said, "That's it. I'm not a Cubs fan anymore." Okay, we need to pick this conversation up in a minute, though, because where do you draw the line? How's a person to decide? And maybe turkeys are on one side, but it gets more difficult when you get closer to the middle. Eric Zorn writes something called the Picayune Sentinel. His newsletter drops on Wednesdays. He's a regular on our Mincing Rascals podcast, too. You know, Eric, you were just telling us the story about you went to fiddle camp, were there for 5 days with people you hadn't known before. And one of the guys you met, a housemate, said, "Oh, yeah, I don't read the news. I've checked out of the news." What a insensitive thing to say to somebody who's given 50 years of his life to. It's like if somebody said, "I work for Coca-Cola," and you go, "Yeah, I don't like Coca-Cola. I like Pepsi." That's just not a nice way to talk to somebody.
Well, I didn't take it that way, actually. It was more of a, for me, it was more of an insight into how I think a lot of people do view the news as something that is interesting to them, but it also creates a lot of anxiety in them.
And
especially when the things that you just can't do anything about.
Well,
and I mean, I think it's important myself. I find it very important to know about the stuff, not just for writing, but for voting and for just debating with people, trying to change people's minds or move people a little bit on issues that are important to me. I feel like the more I know, the better. But I do understand why people would just say, you know what? All this news about crime, all this news about global warming, what am I going to do about it? And so I would rather spend the energy with my family, with my community, with organizations that I support, I get that. It's not me, but I do get it. Do you get it, or do you feel like
I understand. Yes and no. Maybe less. I think I'm less generous about it than you, even though our jobs are very similar. Our predisposition is very similar, but I'll defer to, if you decided that the news of the world and the state and your community is not something you want to consume because you can't do anything about it, you're part of the problem. You are an opportunity for change. You can do good in the world, and you won't if you don't know anything about the world you're living in. I think it's kind of selfish to take advantage of the fruits of everybody's labor but not be part of the process. That's my highfalutin answer to that. I want to go back, though, to you said you quit watching TV news when Channel 7 years ago led with a turkey hit the windshield of a car. And that's kind of a stupid story to lead with. I guess it was a slow day. But I think local TV news is not so bad. You know how I feel about this as well. I think local news generally across all media and platforms in Chicago is pretty lazy these days. It's not bad, but I don't think they're working hard enough to contextualize the crime problem. I know that in recent polls, crime is not number one. It's three or four for a voting issue for people. But let's face it, crime is a dominant topic in Chicago, and nobody is contextualizing it. And I think that's unfortunate.
Well, you and I spoke about this, I think, a couple weeks ago. We talked about the CWB Chicago website, which is sort of all crime all the time. And it is serving, filling a need, filling a curiosity that people have about crime that the major newspapers and TV stations don't fill so much. The TV stations, I think, emphasize crime maybe a little bit more than they should. But it is all about contextualizing it. It's figuring out, okay, here's this terrible thing that happened. Let's figure out what we might be able to do to alleviate the crime problem. What are the problems? What are the root causes of this? How can we address it in the courts? How can we address it in our policing? How can we address it in our communities? And you're right. I think that kind of coverage is not there. And part of it is that a lot of media organizations are weaker than they were. Let's be honest. They don't have the number of reporters. The Tribune doesn't have the number of reporters. The Sun-Times doesn't anymore. So you don't have the kind of people out there who are covering these issues and bringing to bear that knowledge of what's going on in order to create the context. So it's a dilemma.
If every news story, listen, 14, 15 people shot at a Halloween thing last night is a terrible, important story, and the numbers speak for themselves. But most weekends, most days, I think you're not going to say, hey, you know, 40,000 conventioners were in town and they had a swell time. But I think something akin to that is necessary, just as a for instance, to contextualize the news, because otherwise you think that Chicago is on fire all the time. There was a story the other day that said that by and large, Chicago's crime is not as bad as many other cities, big and small, but in these neighborhoods, it's one of the most dangerous places on earth. That was the way they put it. And I don't recall the exact site I was looking at, but it was pretty comprehensive. So the South and West sides, yeah, it's terrible. And we should do something about that. I don't know what. But in the meantime, if you are living or working or visiting Chicago, you're probably not going to be in those gangland areas. It's a safe, wonderful city to visit.
For the most part, yeah. Although one of the things that's been interesting this year is how the crime has moved on to, say, onto Michigan Avenue. It's moved into some of these neighborhoods near North, Wicker Park, where it hasn't been quite as dangerous before. You're seeing a lot more of these carjackings and street robberies. I say a lot more. I can't quantify that.
Yeah,
but there is a sense that the crime is spreading to neighborhoods that it wasn't in before. And so I think that's what some of the things that people are worried about. And that's something that people need to be aware of, too. And I know you bring on some of the aldermen, they'll bend your ear about it for a long time, I'm sure.
Well, I know that. In fact, a young man got shot and killed. He told some neighbors to keep quiet. He had to go to work the next morning. This was about a week ago, and he just walked across the street and said, hey, you guys, it's kind of loud. Could you keep it down? Somebody pulled out a gun, shot him dead right there, father of a small child. And that was a mile and a half from my house. And so I'm aware of that. And yet, I don't know, the brain's a funny thing, Eric. I got up to work and went to work the next day, and maybe this is the desensitization of all of us or what fools we're becoming, but I'm still enjoying the city. How crazy is that?
Yeah, well, I am too, and I've lived on the Northwest Side for 30 years now, and I've had almost no problem with crime at all. So it is, I think, a relatively safe city in, for the most part, in most places. So I think that information needs to get out there as well. Of course.
We'll record the Missing Rascals podcast tomorrow. Also later this week, we'll talk to Jane Kirtley from the Scylla Center about what's happening on Twitter. I think you and I will talk about that on our podcast as well. Welcome back, Eric. Good to hear you, my friend.
Look forward to it. Thanks, John.